somebody's hand. Amen. Say, God bless you. Bless you. Bless the musicians. Go ahead and hold their seats. Amen. Good when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Right? Amen.
And that's exactly the way we feel this morning. Just to be in the house of the Lord, to be with His people. It's good to be with you. Good to have Brother Daniel back with us.
Amen.
And we do enjoy having our brother among us, but as you can tell, he's got a gift that he needs to be using elsewhere also. And so I'm glad to hear that the meetings were very successful, and I always believed they would be anyway. I know that we, Brother Daniel and myself, we try to find the Lord's leadership on things that we do, and so I know that Brother Daniel felt led to go, and I know that I felt led to support him in that, and so we just believed and supported with prayers, and I know that you did, so we want to thank you for that and thank the Lord for what He's done, and so the gospel works.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
And if it works down there, right, to restore marriages.
Right.
If it works down there to bring healing. Then why can't it work here?
Amen.
It will work here.
Amen.
And so it's a unique arrangement the Lord has provided. Brother Daniel and I were sharing that, see, that the Lord has opened these doorways for us in such that we didn't have to have an interpreter. Now, in other words, He provided one. And the situation with Brother Daniel down there is that the interpreter that he has lives there. And so, you know, if you took a translator from here in the United States and went there, when Brother Daniel would preach, that translator would take what was preached and he would put it in his words, what he believed it would mean to them. And translating, a whole lot of what you do is not just word for word, but it's how you say it. And there's sometimes multiple ways you could say it. And so an English interpreter would put it out there with an English translation, sort of. You know what I'm saying? Not in English, but in their language, but with the slant that we would see it with our eyes. And so, but not this case. This brother that Brother Daniel uses, Brother Paco, he hears it, and he puts it out there. And so to me, it adds just another touch of what those people need. And so I know it's been tremendous. And I think it's a real gift of God that the Lord has arranged it that way. And so we're just want to welcome Brother Daniel back. And we will, as he said, 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, we will have an official report as to what all went on. I didn't want to dump that on Brother Daniel this morning, having gotten back and needed many days of rest. And we don't want to do it next week, being Easter, when some of our people will be gone to L.A. camp. So it'll be 2 weeks from today. I'm looking forward to it. We want to make it available so others can see it and understand what's going on, because we do want to be involved in missions work. And the Lord has gifted us sufficiently to do that. And financially, we're able to do that at the moment. So we are thankful for that. So welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. I'd like to remind you we want to keep the sanctuary of the Lord as a holy place, a holy house of prayer, as the psalm says. And just always remember, we want to reverence this place. I know sometimes we are limited in our accommodations, and sometimes our conversations bleed over into this area. But I realize to some degree we'll have to deal with that. But let's always keep it in our minds to keep the house of God a reverence. Don't let it become common in this place.
Yeah.
We want to reserve this to the Lord. And if you'll sanctify anything to the Lord, I don't care if it's your car, if it's your closet, whatever it is, if you'll sanctify that to Him in your mind, He'll meet you there.
That's right.
And that's exactly what we want to do. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we want to open up. Let's begin reading at Psalms chapter 65. Psalms chapter 65, just one verse 4. We read this scripture in our Church Age Bible study Wednesday night, and I wanted to read it to you. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou, speaking to God, whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with thy goodness, with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. And I can say amen to that. Just amen. To be blessed is the man whom he causes to come to him. And then let's go over this to 1 John chapter 1. We'll read the entire chapter. It's only 10 verses long. But verse 7 is what I really want to focus on, but the rest of it is good foundation for it. First John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And then, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word all, A-double-L, all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Lord, we do reverence You this morning. We do reverence this time, this place, this moment, Lord. Before You, Lord, to come together as a blessed people, to come together in Your house, to come together around Your word. And Lord, truly, we can look around and we see Your blessings and Your presence among us and how thankful we are, Lord. We're glad, God, that You have not left us to drift. You've not left us to our own devices, Lord, but You have come down and You have gotten involved and You have intervened for each one of us, Lord.
Yes.
You've intervened, and as Brother Daniel mentioned, He's brought our pathways across each other. And Lord, for this time being, now we know each other, Lord, in the fellowship around Your word, and we know You, Lord, around the fellowship of Your word, and we're thankful for these things. And this morning, Lord, we pray that You would grant to us a special portion of time here, Lord, to sit in Your presence and to have access to You, Lord, and that You would be able to speak to our hearts this morning that needful part. We love You, Lord, and we commit this time into Thy hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. This morning I would like to speak on a topic called unhindered access to God. How many believe we need access to God?
Amen.
I believe we need it. I believe we need it. Need it more than one would possibly, maybe in our own physical mind, would think. But we need access to God, and we need it 24/7. And I believe that God has given us that access. As we'll talk about it this morning, maybe we'll be able to see a little bit more into that. But we need access to God. And we read here in the scriptures of St. John, he says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Because God is light, right? And so He, as we spoke of the last couple of the last week or the week before that, I don't remember which one it was, but how that He is the Father of lights, and in Him is no variableness or shadow of turning. But if He's the Father of lights, that makes His children lights.
Yeah.
And the children take on the nature of their father. So if there's no variableness in Him, there shouldn't be any variableness in us.
Right.
And as we spoke last week, God dwelling among His people, an unchanging God dwelling among His people, I believe there's attributes of God that should be expressed through our lives, that people who look and see us and look upon us, that they see something that's constant, that's always there, it's always the same, and it represents God, and they can see God in that. And they don't come one day and we're up, and the next day we're down, and then we're up, and then we're down. They see something there that they can draw from. That's what we're here to do, saints. That's what we're here in this world to do, is to let Him come live in us and touch lives. And we're not going to touch lives with Tony or with your life. It's not going to be that at all. We have to touch lives with His life. And so they should see something in us that gives them a connection or a guide, you know, that they can see that represents God, that they can actually say, you know what, I want some of that. And so the Scripture says that if we walk in light, He is light. And as the children of Israel, we understand whenever the pillar of fire would get ready to move, the children of Israel had to move with that pillar of fire. They would get in serious trouble if when He got ready to move, they'd stay behind.
Right?
They get serious trouble if they wanted to go ahead of Him when He wasn't with them. How many remembers in the Scriptures where the children of Israel were supposed to do something, didn't do it, and then they decided they would go do it?
Yeah.
And when they decided to go back and do it, God said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go with you. And they went out there and they got whipped.
Yeah.
Well, they'd been better off to do it when God said do it. Mm-hmm. And cause His presence. Because He'll never send you, He'll never commission you or ask you to do anything but what He's not totally, completely there to do it in you, to be there with you and guide you. And He's just not going to do that. And so we're glad that God has that kind of character. And so when they get in trouble when they try to go ahead of Him or try to stay behind Him. And that concept carries over into the New Testament, as we've mentioned this the other day, that as the gospel moved through the ages, as the unfolding of the plan of redemption unfolded through the seven church ages, God was light, and that light was moving. And I'll simplify it and not make it real long and drawn out, but he shone the light upon Luther in his day. And so people needed to walk in that light for that day. And furthermore, to get out from under that light in that day would have been a serious situation to them. Right. But that light moved from Luther and became Wesley's sermon. We understand these are fundamentals of the message. But it moved. And now those who were so blessed in the days of Luther, in order for them to continue in the blessings, they'd have to move with it. And I realize people are birthed to that message of that age, and they were sealed away under the message of that age. But their children or their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, could not carry on in the move that God had done such great things with Luther. They'd have to move forward into Wesley's day. And so the light moved, and they needed to move with it. So that's when that scripture says that, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So you see here that actually access to that blood is very strongly tied to the light that you're walking in.
That's right.
If you walk in that light. So in other words, there are people today that believe they have access to that blood, but they're not walking in present-day light. They're not walking in what God's doing in this hour, in the revelation of this hour. And so their access to that blood is very limited because they're not walking in light. And their fellowship with God and with His believers, I'm talking about true believers, is very limited. Because we see it right there that He said that we would have fellowship with God and with one another. And so, as we're talking about having access to God, we want access to the blood. I mean, we'd like to have access to the blood, right? We want access to the blood. We want access to all the things God said. But there's a way that we can have access to those things. And just as we see here, that if we walk in that light, then we have that access. And we find out that in His presence, we want to be in His presence, have access to Him in His presence, then we are more than conquerors through all things. Everything. I would tell you, I could, you know, it couldn't be manufactured in any such way, and it's not really this, God didn't plan it to happen physically like this, but I would say that if the Lord Jesus Christ could appear here in physical form in front of you, and you knew he was with you, then you probably wouldn't be afraid to take on anything that come your way. You wouldn't worry about it too much because you know the Lord is with you. That's one thing that Brother Branham always, he knew that when he went to a place, he would wait till the Lord would tell him, and then when he would go there, if the devil would rise up at him and try to hinder him, he had authority to tell that devil to move out of the way.
Amen.
Because he had God's commission, and he knew God would stand behind him. And so when we get into the presence of God, then we are conquerors. We are more than conquerors over all things through him who strengthens us. And so we believe that. But we must have that presence, and we must walk in his presence such that we become one with him. And so we have basically in his presence, we have life. I'm talking eternal life. I'm not talking about earthly life or worldly life. I'm talking about eternal life. And so having access to God is synonymous to me. It's as synonymous as having life, having eternal life. And it was that way in the garden. We know in the Garden of Eden there was the tree of life. And how many knows that tree of life was a person? Now, I'm not saying there wasn't a physical tree out there. I'm not trying to tell you that. But that tree that was in the garden is representative of, it was a physical representation there, if you want to say it that way. Whatever form it was in represented God. It represented Jesus Christ because he is the tree of life. And so that tree was there representing him. It was the tree of life, and all that life of God was bound up in that. And I'm saying that because that Adam and Eve were to have access to that. And you find out that whenever they sinned, God had to separate them from that. He had to actually drive them out of the garden. And at the east side of Eden, he put these cherubims there. And these cherubims had a purpose, and that was to keep that way of the tree of life. It was to keep Adam and Eve in their sinful nature, to keep them from actually having access to that life. I think you probably heard it, but how many would want to actually be sealed into eternity with eternal life the way you are right now?
No.
No, there's things I want changed.
Right?
And so I certainly wouldn't have wanted to be a sinner and be made that way. Brother Branham said it this way. He said, life is a sacred thing to God. And he just don't, you know, he won't give it just to anybody, but it's a sacred thing to God, and he wrote it in a book. And so he watches over this. Life is precious. If we have anything that we have value to, we will guard it. We will protect it. You have Brother Daniel had his stump grinder stolen here some time ago. And I don't know, but typically, when you have something like that of value, and I don't know what he does to protect it or whatever, he probably keeps it locked up and that sort of thing, but the point I'm getting at is that's what you do. If you value something, you're going to protect it. You're going to take measures to make sure that you can maintain that and keep that. And so life is a precious thing of God, and he's just not going to go out and pitch it out on the ground for the animals to walk on, just so to speak. He's going to protect it. And so he put these cherubims there to keep the way of the tree of life so that man in his fallen condition could not come and partake of that. And so we understand that concept. And so in the garden, to have access to that tree, which was Christ, to have access to that, there would be things that would transpire there. And so you see that access to God is what we're speaking of this morning, because we want unhindered access. So, but you find out that whenever this happened, God put them out away from the garden, put cherubims, there was flaming swords, and he wouldn't let them come in that condition. And I'll say this, today, he will not let us come have access to that tree or to life as a sinner.
Right.
He won't do it. We're all sinners. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to be partakers of that in a sinful form, in this as sinners, but he provides a way so that we can have access. And so what I'm trying to say there, just like we read in the church age book there the other day, that when those cherubs were set there to keep the way of the tree of life, and man could not come, and so, but we find out that at some point, those cherubs with their swords. They took them swords and they put them in their sheath. In other words, no more swinging that sword, keeping sinners back away. Now we want sinners to come.
Amen.
So they put the swords back in there. This is just the way the Church Age book represented. It said, but those swords were not put in there until first they were stained with the blood of Jesus Christ. So you find out that God had to limit access. He has to keep access limited because of our conditions, right, as sinners. But at the same time, you'll find out that God went right to work, right quick, to make that to where they could once again have access to the tree of life or have access to Him very quickly. And so the program changed from cherubims and from angels and so forth to keep people away from that, to keep it protected. But now there was an atonement in place, and now God wants people to come so they can have access to Him. And so just kind of wanted to talk about that just for a moment, because that's the way it was back in the garden. God did that. But you'll find out that He has these guards there to keep the way of the tree of life. And they were guards to the mercy seat. What are they guards to? They're guards to the access to mercy. Right? So at one point, man, though God's desire is to save man, to save those that are lost, but He had to do this on condition. Then that would be that the blood of an innocent one had been shed. And then once that was in place, now we have free reign through that shed blood to come and have access to what at one point He wouldn't let us have access to. And so I'll say this. I know that God didn't save us today knowing He's going to lose us tomorrow or that sort of thing. Don't run His program away. He saved us once and for all. But I'll tell you one thing. Our disobedience to Him makes us feel like we're lost.
That's right. Yeah.
That's one thing for sure. And as long as you feel that way and think that way in your mind, you're not going to have the proper access to that tree, because your own condemnation in your own hearts and your own conscience will keep that from there. And it's, we could say it this way, our fellowship with God is going to be limited.
Yeah.
What? Until we get that under the blood.
Yeah.
And then something happens somewhere. You go up in there, you upset the Lord somehow, in some way, and your fellowship's not right. And somehow or another, finally, through our ignorance, we find out what it is. We pray about that. We get that under the blood. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere changes.
Yep.
Now we have access to God.
Amen.
Why? Because the benefits of that blood and of the cross now has come upon whatever it was, and we have unlimited access that way. But you see, God hinders. And even though, like I said, He doesn't lose us every time we make a mistake. But in our own conscience, we act out that form as though we're lost, because we walk around for days in the mully grubs until we realize that we have to make something right. Surely it's not days as a believer. It should be moments is what it should be. But we all have our own stages and our own ways and how God deals with us, and we're maturing and that sort of thing. I believe soldiers, when they first go to battle, they probably fall and trip and stumble all the time. But after they've been out there for a while and they're used to their gear and they're used to the way the weight and shifts and everything, they probably don't fall as many times. Mm-hmm. But one thing for sure, from the start to the finish, if he's a soldier and he's a good soldier, it don't make any difference how many times he falls, he's going to get back up.
That's right.
He's going to keep pushing. And so that's the way we want to be. And so God had that limited to that. He had cherubs that did that. They were guards to the mercy seat. They were guarding the place where mercy is found, or the person, if you want to say, where mercy is found. And so it was that way in the Garden of Eden. God had there was an access and that was denied, and then you find out that it changed, and now God wants man to come. He wants man to come to the tree of life. And now He uses angels to drive man, if so to speak. He won't drive you because He's a gentleman, but you understand, now they're out there compelling to come to the tree of life and to have access to that, whereas before He couldn't, because there's blood now, there's mercy now. And so he did that. And we find out that those were cherubims. Now, God, in God's economy, He chose to do this. And we didn't know it when we look at it and we read and we say, well, they were cherubims. They were keeping the way of the tree of life and that sort of thing. We wouldn't know it just from that. We find out that we come on later on in the book of Ezekiel. We find out those cherubims, it calls them cherubims there, and they have the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle, the faces, and so forth. And so we see it connected there to carry on through the scriptures. We find out when Israel was in their journey and God had given them commandments to make the tabernacle in the wilderness, we find out they would pitch the tabernacle, and they had the tribes would pitch their tents all around, and the tribes had their standards, their banners they would hold up, and on the east side would be the banner of the lion. And there would actually be three tribes that were there, but they all assembled under one banner. The banner of had the lion on it. And each of those sides had one of those, a lion, ox, man, and eagle. The eagle was on the north side. And so you find out when we look at all this, and I know this is probably not things that, this is all stuff you probably already know, but you find out that what God was doing there in the Garden of Eden, showing that he was protecting that way of the tree of life with cherubim, he still has that concept in place, but he wants people to come now. And so these guards to the mercy seat are there to protect it. In other words, they won't let access to someone who's going to try and do harm or someone who would not use what's available there in the proper way. And so God, that was the way it was. And then he went ahead, and when Israel was commanded to make the tabernacle in the wilderness, when Moses was, then we find it again there. There was those faces or whatever representation of lion, ox, man, eagle that we found in Ezekiel. You find out that God was showing there that he was going to protect that tabernacle where the presence of God was. He put those tribes around there, and any enemy that wanted to try and come in and get in access, he would have to go through one of those.
Yeah.
A lion, the ox, man, or the eagle. He would have to pass through thousands of men who were there representing that. On the east side would have been the lion. And if a person would have tried to come through, there were thousands of those Israeli men there with that banner behind them, standing there as soldiers or as guards, saying, "You're not getting access to that. You'll have to go through me to get it." So you'd have to combat the lion, not the lion, but the lion, the one with the roar. You'd have to combat that beast or that anointing if you wanted to get in there. If you came from the north, you'd have to combat the eagle. So you see, God was protecting his very presence in the midst of Israel, in the midst of his people. He was once again, protecting that from the strangers or from those that were out that shouldn't have access to that. You'll find out all through the scriptures there when you read about the priesthood and all that, that even certain of the Levites and certain things, there were certain things they can do, and if they went beyond that and did things they weren't supposed to, they'd get in trouble with God. Because God is, as we've said before, rank and file, and he allows access, and there's certain programs that he has where that works. So you find out that the lion, the ox, man, and the eagle represented God's guards to the mercy seat. You've seen them in Ezekiel in the cherubs. You come on over and you find out, and you're not going to find this in the scripture so much, even though it's there once you look at it, but Brother Bram is the one that brought it out so we could see it so clearly there, was that those lions, the lion, ox, and man, and eagle, that was actually Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right. Brother Bram says that the book of Acts is, they say it's the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Apostles.
Right.
Because Jesus Christ came here, lived and died, rose again, and promised he would come back into his people. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell that story of Christ's passion, his appearance here, all the things he did, that he ascended and the promise that he would come back. That's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all told about. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't tell about what happened so much after he got here. They didn't say a whole lot about what Christ did when he come back in the form of the Holy Ghost. But the book of Acts does. The book of Acts is a total, complete description of how the Holy Spirit come back into the church and how he begin to establish a church and how that he who was in Christ is now in the people and how he went forth doing the things. And so what are we saying here? The presence of God was now in the midst of his church, in the midst of his people. And according to what Brother Bam tells us, that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four Gospels, are guards to that book of Acts. In other words, if we want the Holy Ghost like they had in Acts, then we've got to come through Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John to get to it.
Right.
So you've got to believe that Gospel. You've got to hear it, believe it, accept it, before we can actually become partakers of the Holy Spirit and the move of God. The miracles and all the healing and all the things that God would do in the book of Acts, we have to pass through those things because those guards are still there.
Yeah.
And so, well, you know, the Greeks seek wisdom, right? Or, and the Jews seek signs or whatever. So as a Greek, we'd come and we'd say, tell me, how do I get access to this? Well, you start preaching about Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, and you probably wouldn't get that far. And these Greeks say, nonsense. What? A virgin born? Forget it. You know what happened? Matthew just said, no, you don't have access. Because I told you what this is all about and you don't believe it.
Yeah.
Right? So to believe that when you encounter this mercy, the guards of the mercy seat, whichever one it would be, when you would approach that, you'd hear the gospel that Matthew or Mark or Luke or John would say, and it would speak to you. And it would prick your heart, and you would believe that. Mm-hmm. And every one of us had different natures, and some of us, I like the book of John more than I do the other ones. I'm not saying I don't like the other ones, but some books speak more stuff, more revelation out of it than others.
Yeah.
And so, you know, God knew what he was doing when he had the four different natures, or the four different beasts. And so he had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we all encountered that, and we become believers. And now we are part of the book of Acts. And here we are in the presence, and God still has those guards to the mercy seat. He still has guards to that life that he is. And so we're seeing that all through the scriptures, how it come through time, that it was that way. And so now, I'm trying to bring it forward to what we've been so wonderfully blessed with to know in this hour, was that how that down through the ages, through the seven ages, God had four anointings that he would put upon his church.
That's right.
And those four anointings we find in the book of Revelation, it was the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. And you find out that if God used those to guard way back in Israel's days, and he used it with the apostles and all that, then you'll find out that if that lion, ox, man, and eagle is still once again used in scriptures, and we can see it there, then we can probably say, you know what, they're guarding something. Because he always used them as a guard. And we could go ahead and say, they're guards to the mercy seat. They're guards to the presence where God actually is. You know, he said, I will meet with you there between those cherubims. When Solomon built his temple, all the cherubims right there where the presence of God came down. And so you find out that's exactly what the situation was, is that if you see here in the book of Revelation, lion, ox, man, and eagle, those four beasts around the throne, you see all these things happening, then you can know they are guards to the mercy seat. And so we find out that when the seven seals began to be opened, that those beasts were present for the opening of those first four seals. Those beasts were present, and when the first seal was opened, the first beast was the lion. So you find out that as God in our day was giving the revelation of the seven seals, and he's going back to show us how the Antichrist system was combating the church, that he went back to show that white horse rider really was Satan, mm-hmm. wrapped up in the Antichrist spirit, went forth as a deceiver.
Right.
You'll find out that in that day when that was happening, God had an anointing on the church, which was the lion. The boldness and the strength of the lion. What? To get that gospel carried out and get it established out across the different nations there. And so that was what combated that spirit of Antichrist, that white horse in that age. That's what God put upon his church. And they went to meet that challenge with that anointing of the lion upon them. And so we through the opening of the seals, we get to see this. You know, the world don't know what I'm telling you right here. They don't know this. This is message stuff. And so in the opening of the seals, you find out when he went to the second horse rider and the third horse rider and the fourth horse rider. Each one of those seals was met with a beast.
Mm-hmm.
The lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. And so we find out that those correspond to the ages from Christ to 2,000 years ago when God established the church, the Gentile church, that lion anointing was on him, and all the way down here to the rapture. All the Gentile dispensation, and from start to finish, everyone in that Gentile dispensation falls under the category of one of those four anointings. The lion, the ox, the man, or the eagle. And so what are we saying? What? That's the church. That's where his presence has been. It showed it in scriptures. That's where he was. But around with that presence, the way you would have access to that, through that, was to go through one of those four. Either the lion, the ox, the man, or the eagle. And so when we look at that and we realize that I started to say this, in the early on, is that there's only one access left now. There's only one access left back into that Gentile church, and that is through the eagle. And we talked about that a few weeks ago, about eagle, how eagle flies and all the things about that. And so there's only one left. There's only one access point for Gentiles. You can't go in under the lion. You can't go under the calf or ox. You can't go in under the man anymore. You can't meet God anymore on an intellectual level like they did in Luther or Wesley's day, whatever. But now it's eagle. So there's one access point. We want access to God. We want a totally unhindered access to God. We want access right to the presence of God, like in the book of Acts. We want that, and there's only one way to have it, and that is to pass through, because all the other ones are done.
Yeah.
We must pass through eagle anointing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we want to become the church in this hour, we have to come through that eagle anointing.
Amen.
It's not, we won't come any other way. And so what are we saying? Inside there is the presence of God, and we want access to that. Then that's the way we get there, is we pass through an eagle anointing. And what you find out is that you actually become that you pass through. That's actually what your anointing is and your representation is. It's actually Christ. It's actually the Holy Spirit. But he's acting out this stage of this ministry of this age, which is eagle. So you become that eagle. You become anointed with that when you step into that. And you have access to God through that eagle anointing that way. And that's the only one that's left is the eagle. So it's still a guard to mercy, the mercy seat. So since all the other sides, the east and the south and the west, are off limits to us. Mm-hmm. We can't come into the camp of God any other way than through the north, through the eagle. And so we don't want to try it. We don't want to try intellectually. We don't want to try and by works-based go out here and be such a sacrifice and try to get to God through our works.
Right.
We don't want it that way.
Right.
We don't want to rise up and act like some of these guys that we see out here that think they are absolutely God's, and they with such authority, they stand and you'd think that they know what they're talking about the way they act. But they don't, because they're not coming through that channel that God has given us in this day of an eagle prophet message.
Yeah.
And so that's the access point we have, and we don't want to do that. And so we don't want to try it any other way except that. So there's the lion, the lion, the calf or ox, the man, and the eagle. And the eagle is the only one that's left. Now Jesus said, I am the door. Now we're kind of talking about it a little bit different here, but he said, I am the door to the sheepfold. How many remembers that?
Mm-hmm.
And you find out, he said, I'm the door. And then he says, if any man comes, everyone has to come through him.
Yeah.
And if anybody comes up in any other way, then through him, because he's the door. And he himself come through that door.
Yeah.
He was the word, and he actually fulfilled the word. So he come to his own fulfillment as an example for you and I. We come through the door, and so what is that door today? I just told you that door is that he's come down as the door, and he's extended to this generation an anointing called an eagle anointing, and you can have access into the fold or into the presence of God through that doorway. So he says, I'm the door, and if we come, anybody who comes up any other way is a thief or a robber. And so he's the door, and he came through the door. But now we also find out in Laodicea, the message to the Laodicean age, he says that I stand at the door and knock. I don't want to try and confuse you, because always remember, he's the door. Right? He's the door. You hold the key. In this example, you hold the key whether or not you let him in or not, because he's standing knocking at that door. But what is that door? He's the door. So he's knocking at the door of his manifestation, which we just tied it to show you that it's an eagle anointing. So what is he doing? He's standing here at this generation, and he's knocking at that door through the fulfillment of his prophetic message, an eagle anointing message. He's knocking and speaking through an eagle message to the people and saying, let me in. Let me in to have fellowship with you. So he is the door, but he's knocking at that door. Understand what I'm saying? What is he knocking? He's saying, come to me. If I'm standing here and you're knocking on the door, then I have to come through that. I have to come to that door, that manifestation, that revelation. I have to come to that and begin to interact with that for you to come in and become part of it, or to be in my presence. And so that's what he's saying. He's knocking on this generation, knocking at the door.
Yeah.
And so anything else that comes up any other way is a thief. Boy, now go turn on some of these television stations or whatever that's got all these preachers on it and so forth, and find out there's only one access, and that is through the eagle message.
Yeah.
And if you come up any other way, you're a thief and a robber. Right? That's what Scripture said. Because we have to come through the Word. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think it was Lonnie Jenkins said that he told his dad that, and he said, he's just the same. And he said, no. His dad said, no way. You know. And Lonnie said, well, I knew I missed something there. But as you turn out to what you find out is he's the same, except he has a body of believers. That's the difference. He's got a corporal body that's his people, not the flesh body of Jesus. But other than that, he's the same. But here's one thing for sure. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is he the same? He's always the revealed word.
Amen.
Always. And if he's a revealed word, it's through an eagle message, it's through a gospel door, it's through a brother or a sister that's trying to reach out to somebody else. He's that revealed word revealing himself through all of that. He's always the revealed word revealing himself the way he said he would. That's the way it is. He's always going to be revealing himself that way. And so he's knocking to this generation through a door of a prophetic message. And that's their access. And if they'll just walk up to that and interact with that door and let him come through that revelation, come through that message, then they can have access to him too. But so, sadly to say, most of them don't want it. So we read in Psalms chapter 65, verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. God reaches out. You see here, God, even David knew this. David knew that God will go out and intervene in a person's life, and he will cause that person to have something that will want to approach God. He will cause that person to come through his presence. So God knows, in order for you to have life, he has to get you in his presence. And he has to bring you through this pathway to have access to him. And so David was saying that blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest. God will cause you to approach to him. And he does it by putting a deep call in your heart. He does it by controlling life circumstances. He controls all kinds of things. But the bottom line is all events in your life is God using to draw you to himself. What? So that you can dwell in his courts. And so you could be satisfied with the goodness of his house, even his holy temple. So that to me goes right to rapture text in Psalms 27. There's one thing I desire, one thing that I desire, and that's that I could dwell in his house and see the beauty of him and his temple. And that's the cry of the believer's heart. I don't think the rest of the world cries that way. It don't sound like it when you talk to them, but that's the difference. But you and I, we have a desire to be in his presence, whether it's just right here in the church, in his word, or in our prayer closet, in our homes, as we're going down the road. And ultimately, we have a longing in our heart. We want to be with him.
Amen. We tired of love letters. Not that we don't like the word. That's not what we're saying. But the place, it's getting to the place where we want more.
Yeah.
Because you know why? Because there's a deep calling that says there is more.
Right.
And so I believe he has it. He has that same call. And I believe, I know it sounds kind of, you know, maybe it's, I speak as a man, but I believe the Lord is tired of it staying just on the form that it is. I believe he's getting antsy, so to speak, and is ready for this to change, for us to change dimensions that we might be with him in a way that we're not right now. And so all the thing has to happen that way so that we could be in his presence. So he causes us to come into his courts. He causes us to come in his presence, have a desire to do so. But there's an access point to that.
Right.
And that final access point for Gentiles is through a prophetic message, an eagle anointing. And if we actually pass through that, we become eagles. We are eagles. We respond to it because we have something in us that he's put in there to cause us to come to him. In other words, we were born with an appetite for prophetic word that was to be delivered. He's causing us to come to him, to come to his presence, come right through that doorway, right to that gate, and to be satisfied with the goodness of his house, and to be in his temple, see his presence, be with him. I think that's the way it is, and it's all typed out in the wedding between a man and a woman. Blessed is the man that he's called to come to him. So I want to ask you a question, saints. Is it true? Is it true that this is the last stage is the eagle? Is it true that's access? That we pass through that to get access to God? Isn't that true? Do we all believe that?
Amen.
And if we come through that access point, who's going to tell us we can't have access to God? I know the devil tries to tell you every day that you can.
Right.
But who's going to tell us that we cannot have access to God? If we know that we can look and we say, you know what, I've heard an eagle message. And I've responded to that, and I've come through that message. I have followed that, and I have come through that, and I believe that I've actually become the message. Who's going to tell us we can't have access to God if that's the case? No one. They try to, but what I'm appealing to you now is for you to ask yourself, have I heard a message? Did I hear an eagle prophetic message? Have I responded to it? Do I see those that working in me? And if you could say yes to that, did you know that your birth to Jesus Christ is not some intellectual thought under Luther's age or you're not trying to get to God by works to be in some sacrifice or something under a calf anointing or whatever. But what you see working in your life today is you see a prophetic voice that has spoke to you, a voice within a voice, and it has quickened you and made the word alive to you today. And you realize now, I am eagle. I'm eating eagle's food because where the carcass is, the eagles are gathered, right? Amen. Where the word is, that's where they're gathered. And you see that taking place in your life. I don't care what anybody tells you. You have access to God.
Amen.
Because you come through that route.
Amen.
And there's nothing that can hinder you except your own unbelief. Your own doubts and unbelief in the magnitude of what God has given you access to. He's giving you more access to more things than what you could realize in yourself. And so, we've heard that message. We come through that message. I trust that we have. I trust that there's not something laying there that we've ignored. We've come through that message. And now we see that we have eagle nature upon us. So who's going to tell us that we can't have access to that? They'll try, but it's not going to work. Brother Bram tells that example, and I believe he wants to arm ourselves with this, and I know it would sound really crazy for us to say this to somebody on the street or in our workplace or whatever, but I still believe that that's the attitude we should have. When he said that they went over there to find the Welch Revival and said, where's the Welch Revival? And they went up to a police officer on the street and asked him, we're trying to find the Welch Revival. Where is the Welch Revival? And the policeman said, I am.
Amen.
I'm the revival.
That's right.
The saints, I think we forget this. Satan wants us to beat us down with the daily toils of life and everything. But saints, we are the message.
Amen.
We are healing. Mm-hmm. Right? But I'm not saying we have it in ourselves. But I'm saying he's given us access. We become that. And that's what we offer to this generation. Yes. So saints, we need to remember that. at the workplace or wherever, I don't care where it is, if you come up on an accident on the side of the road, who are you? You are here to represent God. You have access to God, and you are healing. You are salvation. You are the words of eternal life. You have joy. You have peace. Not just in your own walk, but you have that to give out. Amen. You have it, and you can impart it.
Amen.
You can impart that. Just like Brother Daniel was telling them, his testimonies about things down there, and I'll not tell you why I start to, but I want him to be able to tell it. But for God to come upon him in previous trips and him to speak something, and he don't even remember speaking it. You know, I know Brother Daniel's a precious brother. I know he's not a prophet. We're not prophets. But still yet, he has access.
Right.
You have access.
Yeah.
You can say things to people you might not understand.
Yeah.
And not even realize you're saying it. But it can still be God. And he can speak something on a previous trip and not even remember it and come back. And they remind him. And he's like, well, I don't know if you said that. Somebody says, yeah, that's what you said. And in saying that and see that God has brought to pass what he said.
Yeah.
And the point I'm getting at is are we just a bunch of do-nothings? A bunch of nobodies?
No.
Or do we have access? Have we come through an evil message? Have we been anointed to that? And I say that we have, and therefore we have joy. We have peace. We have access to all of the above.
Amen.
Anything? Because the scripture said, in him all things are yea and amen.
Amen.
But notice it says in him. Not in the world, because in the world, I'll go ahead and say it this way, in the world, everything is not yea and amen. In the world, it's everything opposite of that. But in him is yea and amen.
Amen.
And so we have access. We can have peace in our homes.
Right.
We can have joy. We can have healing. We don't have to be bound to the things of the world and be limited so much at all by the things the world are limited by.
That's right.
We have to come to that. We have to realize that we are the message. We are the message. When we walk into the restaurant, if something was to happen unfold, we must arm ourselves with that, realizing that we are God's representation here on this earth now.
Amen.
So nobody's going to tell us we can't have it. When we're standing right here looking right at the revelation that says we can have joy in our hearts, we can have peace in our homes, we can pray the prayer of faith. It's always been that way.
Amen.
When people had access to God, they could get the job done. Because with him, all things are possible, right? Right? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we have that. We are the very manifestation of these things, salvation and peace and eagle nature and all those things. And so we're eagles now.
Man.
We're flying. God didn't just lay this out there and say, well, okay, we're eagles, no big deal. He wants us to understand what that means. It meant something to him. It meant enough to him to say, I want to show my church that I had different anointings through different ages. I want to show them I had that, and I want them to say, why was it different? And why is it an eagle anointing at the end? I want him, and he meant to do it. I think it was important enough to him. I think it would be important enough for us to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And so he says, we're eagles. Why? Well, okay, if we're eagles, we're flying now. Because that was the difference. The lion, the ox, and the man are earthbound, but the eagle flies. We can see that. Mm-hmm. So we had to realize that in our experience with God, in some form or fashion, God says that we've left the earth. In some form or fashion, God said, we can feed our young meat instead of milk.
Right.
In some form or fashion, God says, we can renew our youth. They can't. None of them can, but an eagle can.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You know why an eagle renews his youth? It's because God put it in him to do that.
Amen. Right? That's right.
And you know why you and I can renew our youth? We may feel like we get so beat down in this world. Maybe we've made so many mistakes. But an eagle can renew their youth.
That's right.
We can come back to where we were and even beyond that, because that eagle, after he comes back, he's got something under his belt he didn't have before he went to molting. Mm-hmm. But after he comes out of it, he's got more tools in his belt.
Yep.
And namely, he's able to help others who haven't come to that point. Right?
Yeah.
So God said he can do those things, and God said, you're eagles, so he's telling you, you can do those things. So saints, you can renew yourself, but you've got to do it the way the eagles did it.
Right.
And you can fly higher and get away from all the stuff that the rest of the world is bound by, but you've got to fly to do it.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? And so you can do that. And even your young, newborn birth people into the message, you can feed them things that the world will choke on.
Amen.
Right? God said you can. So we're flying now. What are we flying above? We just said we can rise up above it. What are we flying above? What's beneath us now? What should be beneath us? Because I know an eagle can, he can land, he can come back down and land and walk around, hop around on the ground. And Brother Bam tells us that, you know, some of those other birds that were close kins or whatever said used to be able to fly, but they quit doing that and they started eating some roadkill or whatever and they forgot how to fly. Now they hop around on the ground.
Yeah.
Right? Hear the voice.
Uh-huh.
Hop around on the ground because they quit doing what God had made them to do.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Our senses can become so dull to the things of God if
yes.
we don't exercise those things of God.
That's right.
So bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit in the natural, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in gospel things, it profits little. But I tell you what, if we exercise ourselves to godliness,
right.
we get some results.
Amen.
See? But that's the thing we leave off. That's the thing we leave off, and that's why we're not flying like we ought to. But if we're eagles and we're flying, what's beneath us now? Well, it'd probably be easier just to say it under a blanket and say, everything that the rest of the world is stuck with, you and I aren't stuck with.
Right.
When they were pronounced that the society put something on them and this is the way it's going to be and it all ties back to the fall, you and I could say, you know what, I'm above that. God didn't tell me I had to submit to that. God didn't tell me I'm earthbound anymore. God told me I'm an eagle. I can soar like him.
Yeah.
I can fly. So we're up in the heavens now, saints, right? Amen?
Amen?
In our walk, when we leave here today and we get confronted with a chance of gossip, what are we going to do? Are we going to hop on the ground or are we going to fly?
Right.
When you brothers are on the web and an ad pops up that's not good, what are you going to do? Are you going to walk on the ground or are you going to fly? Right?
Yeah, right?
When you get up in the morning and Satan says, just go on to work, you can pray this evening. What are you going to do? Are you going to walk on the ground or are you going to fly?
Preach, brother.
Right?
Amen.
Because these things will never be good for us until we flesh them out.
Amen.
And that's right. And Satan is not a creator. And God is a gentleman, and he can create if he wants to, but he's a gentleman.
Yep.
And he won't push you beyond what you are willing. And he will actually be fleshed out in your actions, and you become him if you'll let him. But you know what? Satan will also flesh out if you let him.
Right.
You become that manifestation.
Yeah.
So we can either walk on the ground or we can fly. So we're flying and we're above it. We're above those things. When I say that, I don't mean this holier than thou looking down our nose. That's beneath me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about victory.
Amen.
Victory in our lives to soar above those things that Satan wants to put on us. So what am I saying? Eagle has all this. We have this under our belt. We just got to put it to use. And so we're soaring now. And all that stuff is beneath us now. We don't have to bow down to that. We don't have to submit to that. We don't have to have these devices binding us like the rest of the world has. We don't have to. God said we could have freedom from those things.
Amen.
And what do? We just take what he's given us, what we are, because we are now eagles. We come through that message. It transforms us. We're now in the presence of God, and we are soaring like eagles. And that's what we represent to this age.
Yeah.
When people see us, they're not going to see those other things. They're going to see eagles.
Right.
They're going to see people who can say, you know what? I'm not bound to that stuff. I'm not bound to sports. I'm not bound to gambling. I'm not bound to drugs and alcohol and lust and pornography. I'm not bound to those things.
Right.
Because God's given us freedom.
Amen.
So we're soaring above that. Soaring above those things. No predators up here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Think about it. We spend so much time saying, oh, the devil's right on me. And I know it. That's what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, God told us we can soar above that and there's no predators up there.
Amen. Right?
Right? All the predators, we left them behind.
Right?
Right? And you say, well, he's on my heels. Then you didn't leave him behind.
Uh-huh.
He's on my heels. Then you're not doing what you can do as an eagle.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
You're still lagging behind, acting like the lion or the ox or the man. You're still walking on earth instead of taking what God has given you and putting it into action. No predators up here, right? No denominational leftovers for us. We have fresh kill every day.
Amen.
I'm talking about in our walk, in our Christian walk, in our prayer life, in our devotion to God, in our expressions to people around us. Every day it's fresh. Fresh meat. No denominational leftovers for us. They can say whatever they want to, but the word I'm following is a living word. It's not some, they want to say, well, there's no difference in the message than anybody else. It's just Brother Branham was a man, a founder, and John Wesley was a founder, and Luther was a founder. Listen, I'm following a living word, and it's fresh kill every
Amen.
Day.
Amen. That's right.
So there's no denominational leftover nonsense for us. You know why? Because we're rippers with a beak.
Amen.
We kill for our food. You know what the scripture says? Now wait a minute. In order for the eagle to have fresh kill, he has to know how to kill it.
That's right.
He has to know how to rise up in the strength of what he is and take it over.
That's right.
Now if you want blessings from God, if you want victory in your life, if you want things to take place in your life and around those people around you, you've got to be willing to kill it.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
As a beak. You've got to be able to say, you know what? I have a beak. I have the ability of God. I have a desire in me. I'm a ripper with a beak. I'm going to have fresh kill. God's going to be on the move in my life today.
Amen.
I'm not just going to sit here today and think about what he did 3 weeks ago. Today, I'm going to have God moving in my life now,
Amen.
Today. Fresh kill, fresh move. But it'll happen when we as eagles say, you know what? The Word of God says I can do these. The Word of God says I can have fresh kill today. I can rise above it. I don't have to stay down here. I can walk in victory every hour.
Amen.
That's what the Word says we can have. But we have to do it.
Right.
It has been committed to us, and we have to do it. And as long as we sit back and say, well, then that's where we're going to be. I'm glad that we're rippers with the beak. I'm glad that God tells you, you know what? Get up off your can and get out there and work for a living, so to speak. Get out there and do something and make it happen. Mm-hmm. I try to teach my son and my children, that hard work is what it takes. Hard work, hard work, hard work. It pays off. The saints, same way in the gospel. Mm-hmm. Hard work. Get to the nitty-gritty. Wear the knees out. Pray. Yeah. Seek God. Take him in his word. Get out there and put him to work.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said he'd rather go out there, and I forget how he phrased it, but he'd rather go out there and go down in defeat, standing for what's right, mm-hmm. than to stand back and do nothing.
Right.
Right? We'd rather be out there trying to say, God, I remember years ago, and Lord, Richard here, Brother Richard, he knows when I say this, he's going to know what I'm talking about. But Brother Richard worked there at Calvin McBride with me when Dean Gray came down sick. You remember that, how she come sick? In just a couple of weeks, she was down to about 94, 95 pounds. And I remember specifically walking through that plant, and I can tell you right where I was, and the Spirit of God come up on me and said, I just prayed back, and I said to the Lord, I said, because they had called that morning and said, she won't make it through the day, she'll die. Day. And I left from up there where the phone was, up by the door, and I was walking back to the maintenance shop, and I come right past where the old cutter used to be, that old one. I don't know if they still have it or not. But right in front of that alley, right there in front of that old cutter, the Spirit of God came on me, and I just stopped and I said, God, because I was wanting to go pray with her that night. I said, God, she'll be there when I get there if you want me to pray with her. Well, you know what? She was there that night. And that day, I remember specifically, my wife's uncle was one of them, and another fellow that worked there. And both of them said, you know what, her time is finished, it's over with. And I just told them, I said, you know what, and I'm saying this because of what I said a while ago, I'd rather go down in defeat standing for what's right, right?
Right.
And I told them, they said, it's over with. There's nothing they can do for her. And I said, it's not over with. It's not over with until God says it's over with. And I remember saying that to my wife, Sophie, and Larry. And so, you know, I've told the testimony before. But, you know, those two that said, no, there's no chance for her, you know, she through all the things that happened, she was able to get well and come back. She came back, and that was during July, around July 4th or 3rd, 2nd or 3rd, right in there, and in 92. And we had a Thanksgiving dinner at the company. And she hadn't come back to work anymore. I don't think she ever came back to work after that. But she came back and had lunch with us at that Thanksgiving. It was either Thanksgiving or Christmas, so it was several months later. But here that woman was that they said, no, nothing's going to help her. And I said, no, it's not over with till God says it's over with. She got to come back there, and she sat right there, and we talked with her, and she had fellowship with us. And I remember asking her, you know, I said, well, you know, and they told her that she had died that day, and they revived her a time or two. And I said, well, what'd you see? She said, well, I don't know. She said, I don't know. She said, all I know, she said, I don't know where I was. But she said, I know it wasn't in my body. I know that. But her very next statement, and she said this over and over and over, she said, I'm just so glad to be here. I'm just so glad to be here. You see Richard shaking his head. But my point is, those men had her written off, but God hadn't. And they had to look back, and they had to look at that. And when she come in and eat lunch with us, they had to say, you know what? It wasn't her time. Right? It wasn't her time back then when we thought it was. Here she is talking to us. And so when God says it's over with, it's over with. But he hadn't said it was over with her. And so I'd rather stand there to them men and say, you know what? It's not over with. And maybe even the end of the day. For her, them to say, okay, she's gone. I'd rather stand there and say that than to say, well, I guess you're right. There's no power of the church left to pray for anybody for them to be made well. I wouldn't want to do that. I'd rather tell the truth. And so, you know what happened? The Lord miraculously began to move. They called. The family called the next morning and said, thanks. Tell Tony and James, thanks for coming, praying for her. She's already gained strength because they had their own life support and were wanting to pull the plug on her. She started getting strength, and they don't know why. It started that night after we prayed, and by the next morning, she was a totally different person. And so they called, the family called, and said, tell them thanks for praying for her. And so one of the guys that I worked with made fun of it. They said, yeah, she's getting better. And he said, yeah. He chuckled. He said, yeah, Tony went down there and healed her. Tony didn't heal nobody.
No.
But God did.
Amen.
You see? And so I'm just saying that. We've got to take the character, the nature that God has given us under this eagle message and go possess the land.
Amen.
That's what we must do. God said you can have it, saints. You can have peace, joy, strength in your life, finances. Everything can be blessed. Everything can be blessed of God. It's not saying you won't have trials. It won't be saying that you're not going to be tested. But it says that after you have been tried and tested, you will possess the gate of your enemy.
Amen.
And I pray you show me in the scriptures where any of God's people were left standing with an empty bag. He's always helped them. Always come on the scene like he said he would do. And so, how do we know we have access to God? Well, 1 John chapter 4, verse 13 says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. How do we dwell in him and he in us? Because he has given us of his spirit. Amen. And so if I wanted to go find Brother Tim, all I have to do is go find where his spirit's at. And I found him. Yeah. Because that's where his spirit dwells. Right? If you want to find God, go find where he's dwelling. And you'll find out. You want to know if God's in you? Do you have his spirit in you?
Yeah.
If you got his spirit in you, you're in him. If you have your spirit in you, it's in the form of an eagle prophetic message. You have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And that's just all there is to it.
Yeah.
We have those things under our belt. We just have to use them and believe them. Let's bow our hearts as we get ready. Close the service. Let the musicians come. I'm glad
God raised me up in this age. I hate this age. I hate what I see that the modern electronics and all the gadgetry is doing to our children, and how much of a fight it is for us, and it's to the place where we just have to say, God, you're going to have to help us and guide us. But I love this age. I love this message. I love what God has told us we can have in this hour. And we must believe that, saints. We are a different people. God has given us something that He didn't give other generations. We must believe that. That He would have a people at the end that would actually become one with Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings upon us. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would solidify these things, these truths in our heart.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that You would make it clear in the hearts and minds of Your people. I'm just a country boy from the South, Lord. I know my speech is not real clear. I know that I stutter sometimes. I know all that, Lord. But I still desire to tell Your people the truth, the best that You show it to me. And I believe what I have said today is to be truthful, Lord, that they possess in their tool belt, Lord, these things that You've given them. And I ask, God, that You would help them to believe that, to see it in the Scriptures. Let them search the Scriptures to see if it's not so. Let them search the message and see if it doesn't say the same thing. Lord, because I believe You have a people that will be the apple of Your eye, that will be such a glory before they leave this world. Lord, that they will have that testimony that Enoch had, that we please God. I ask, God, that You'd help them in any way, form, or fashion that they have, or that You move upon their lives. Lord, let it be that in their own spiritual walk, Lord, that they begin to worship You. Lord, they begin to praise Your holy name every day as they go and work or at home. Lord, may they not just come to the prayer altar and just say, Lord, give me this and give me that. But Lord, may they realize they need to praise Your holy name. Lord, that You inhabit the praises of Your people. And I've seen it, Lord. I've seen how it works. It makes the chains fall, Lord, when we praise Your holy name.
Yes.
And I ask, God, that as they look and see these truths and these things, realizing You've committed to them eagle nature, the ability to rise up and make it happen, Lord. And though they look at that, it probably seems like David looking at Goliath. But Lord, just as You blessed David, You blessed them, Lord, with a revelation to rise up and say, I'll meet this giant in the name of the Lord. Yes. God, and You deliver their enemies before them one by one each day, Lord.
Yes.
Cause them to begin to rejoice. And may they become a psalmist and sing songs and praises to You as they see You bring victory in their life. We commit them to Your hands now and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, saints, but I have many days where I want my youth to be renewed.
Amen.
Amen. But God has said we could have it. Amen. Let's all stand. Brother Tim have a song to sing as we get ready to dismiss. Next week is Easter. Looking forward to Resurrection Sunday. And some of the saints will be going, leaving out Thursday, to go take the youth down there to the L.A. camp. I'm going to be praying for our youth. The Lord would speak to them.
Amen.
That He would speak to their hearts. And not even wait till Sunday morning to do it. But that our youth, that what they are lacking, they'll gain. And I know because we're common. Brother Daniel and I, we're common too. So it's just natural. God knows there's ways. He's got somebody that can speak to their hearts and help them in those ways. He's got ways that we can speak to their hearts and help them. But we want to pray for them. We all pray for our youth, that God would touch their lives while they're going on these trips, and let them be safe on the way and enjoy their time, be refreshed in body. Just let them give God give them a supernatural strength. And my wife and Sister Vicki will be taking them to be strengthened in their bodies and to be able to enjoy the meetings and then also be able to drive safely and all that sort of thing. And let's just sing to the Lord this morning.
May that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Thank you.
children to Father. Lord, I ask you to go to him right now, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, as the prophet said, a mother's prayer, Father, is something greater than anything, God. Lord, we're claiming her son now, right now, Father. I ask you to go to him right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Deal with that boy's heart now, Lord. Lord, may there be a deep call in his heart, God. Lord, we know that you are, Lord, before the foundation of the world, God, you're mindful of him, Lord. You know the number of hair on his head, oh God. And I claim him now, Father, in Jesus' name. Go to him, Father.
Look at Jesus. Wrong. I keep saying that, but he'll always do you right. Amen. And I do believe, as the testimony goes, that whenever he comes near, something good always happens. Amen. You commit your life to him, every aspect of your life to him. If there's something in your life that you hold back, you won't have the blessings of God on that part.
Yeah.
Right? So we want to just come forth with everything. And it's been good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Just pray that you have safe journeys back as you travel. I don't know if it's still raining, but if it is, may the Lord be with you. Sister Pansy, God bless you. We know that she made a big sacrifice to be here today with the rain. And so we ask a special blessing of the Lord for her, making home safely. But may the Lord be with all of you. Just remember not one another in prayer. Amen. Everybody's going through trials, some worse than others. But everybody's got some.
Amen.
So if you can't find anything to pray about on your own self, you certainly can for others.
Yeah. Right?
But that's the way we stick together, and that's the way that we'll see God. And you know, one of these days, I don't say it'll be one Easter morning, but one of these days, perhaps this time of year, it'll be that time we look for. Could be now.
Yeah.
Could be this time. Maybe, maybe not. We will want to look forward to it, as though it is now. And so God bless you. This is a special time of the year. Springtime, always remember there is a resurrection. There will always be, no matter what your trial is, there will always be another spring. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Because he lives.